Well, a very dear brother, a good friend of us here on Prophecy Today. By the way, you can hear his weekly broadcast on our internet radio station, Prophecy Today Radio. It's on, and we run it several times, put it in the cycle. You'll be able to hear the program by Dr. John Wickham. It's a must-listen to, so see if you can find it on the schedule and join Dr. John in an opportunity to hear him teach the Word of God, focusing much on creation and the Genesis flood. But he can teach any part of the entire Word of God and is a great prophecy teacher as well. John, thank you for joining us. I want to focus back on creation. There was an article that came out in the BBC website, their news website, talking about galaxy clusters, a starburst that is bringing somewhat of a surprise to the astronomers, making the statement in the article that new stars are coming into existence. Now, do you understand what this starburst is that they're talking about? What is that?
Of course, all kinds of things are changing in the universe around us. But the thing that we must realize is that God has total control. The curse that he brought upon the universe continues in what scientists have all agreed is the second law of thermodynamics. Everything in a closed system, apart from God's intervention, is declining, deteriorating, collapsing, everywhere, always. And therefore, nothing new, better, more beautiful, more functional, more efficient is appearing anywhere ever in the universe. Things fall apart out there. Things explode, yes. Just like the Bible tells us over and over again, that God knows exactly how many stars he made. You remember Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again, is the one who created the universe. Genesis 1:16, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that's the sun, the lesser light to rule the night, that's the moon, and listen to this, and he made the stars also. Just as if a flip of the finger, a touch of the tongue, and there's the universe. Now, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 40, he says, lift up your eyes on high. So we're supposed to be astronomers, aren't we, Jimmy? Mm-hmm. Listen to this. And see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by what? By number. He knows how many there are. He calls them all by name. Everyone is unique and different. That's confirmed in Psalm 147, 1 Corinthians 15. They're all special. They're all different. Why? Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. So, Jimmy, it's obvious from the Bible that whatever changes take place in the universe, you know, comets fall apart and meteorites and asteroids, and the moon has been affected, pockmarked, you know, with all kinds of disaster things just like this Earth. But nothing better has ever appeared. Nothing that has higher quality. No, no. Things are going downhill, downhill. And even though there may be things falling apart, like in the galaxies and stars, nothing better, nothing more complex, nothing more beautiful is ever appearing in the universe. Of course, the Bible tells us also in Isaiah 45 that this is the only place, and see, here's what astronomers are hoping for, you know, Jimmy. They want to find life out there, a place, another planet like ours where there's life. But God has news for us. Isaiah 45 tells us in verse 18, thus says the Lord who created the heavens. Now, we're listening to somebody who knows all about it, don't we? Mm. He's the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it, the earth, and did not create it, what? A waste place, an empty place, but formed it, the earth, to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there's none else. This is the only inhabited place in the universe. That's what astronomers need to be told. Yes, complexities out there, changes out there, but nothing better and nothing inhabitable. And all the conditions that had to exist on this planet for life to be here. And how do you know that this is the only inhabited planet beside what God said in Isaiah chapter 45, 18? Because the creator of the universe came to this planet, not Mars, Jupiter, somewhere else, some other galaxy. He came to this planet 2,000 years ago to become a permanent member of the human race by incarnation through virgin birth. And guess what else is going to happen? He says, keep praying, He's coming back to this planet. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Not Jupiter, not Neptune, on earth as it is in heaven. I say, Lord, thank you for teaching us what we need to know about your design, your control, your information, your revelation about the universe around us.
Wow, that is fantastic. Yeah, I guess those people at NASA made a big mistake, spent a lot of money on that rover that they sent to Mars, the Curiosity rover there. There's not going to be any life found there.
No. It would be a lot less expensive to open Genesis 1 and find out that we are alone. We are only on this planet. And by the way, all angels, therefore, are focused on this planet too, as Job 38:7. When the angels were created, they shouted for joy when they saw the earth being created, because as Hebrews 1 says, they are sent to be ministering spirits to those on this planet. So God and angels and men are all what focused on planet Earth. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. Dr. Wickham, I want to ask you about the gap theory. Now, maybe people don't understand that. There are those who propagate the thought that, indeed, between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and chapter 1, verse 2, there's a gap of hundreds and millions and billions of years, possibly. What is wrong with that thought?
Well, the wrong thing is that that is not what it says. I, by the way, used to teach the gap theory when I first taught at a theological seminary, until I looked more carefully and found this is impossible. Why? Because in Genesis 1:1 it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void. It was created uninhabited. It was perfect. It was created perfect as everything God creates, but it was not what? It was not yet full of living things. It was not complete. And I say, Lord, help me to see the point here. The gap theory puts millions or billions of years between those verses, which the Hebrew wording will not allow. But the point is, then you'd have to have Adam walking on a cemetery filled with billions of dead creatures, you see, that had died and been fossilized, supposedly, back there. But Satan hadn't fallen yet, because why not? Because Genesis 1:31 says, at the end of the creation week, when Adam and Eve were created, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. No humans had fallen into sin. No angels, including Satan, had fallen into sin. Everything in the universe is still perfect. And they say, well, what about these trillions of fossils? That's another problem of the gap theory. It puts the fossils before Adam and Eve, but Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9 says the fossils, trillions of them, were formed during the flood, the hydrodynamics of the Genesis flood. And so several years ago, Henry Morris and I wrote a book on this called The Genesis Flood. That was the means by which God formed these trillions of fossils and layers like in the Grand Canyon. So now we have new light on the subject. The magnitude, yes, the universality of the flood, the curse that came after Adam and Eve were created, not before. The fall of Satan after Adam and Eve were created, not before. Animals dying after Adam and Eve sinned, not before. And so I've explained, Jimmy, the gap theory, why it's impossible, in my book called The Early Earth, the final chapter, Why the Gap Theory is Impossible. The Early Earth, I trust it'll be of help to some people. BMH Books, Winona Lake, Indiana. The Early Earth.
Wow. That is excellent response to those who may still be believing in the gap theory. I know there have been many biblical scholars that bought into it at first, just like you said you did, but then when they stopped and analyzed what the word was actually saying, they came to the conclusion that was an impossibility, as you have told us this day. Dr. John Whitcomb, our special friend here on Prophecy Today, we always go to him with things that relate to creation and to Bible prophecy as well. We so appreciate the time he could give to us. John, thank you so very much. We'll talk, I'm sure, again down the line.
Thank you, Jimmy. God be with you.